Life brings storms that sometimes create a faith crisis. Storms come, and we know they're going to come. Storms don't last forever, right? Storms are temporary detours on the way to your destiny as you are on your journey for your destiny. But storms come, crises come. And when crises come, it could be death, it could be divorce, it could be rejection, it could be grief, it could be poverty or lack or bankruptcy, it could be emotional, mental challenges. It could be relationship challenges, family challenges. It could be job challenges, job-related, employer-employee relations, coworker challenges. Crises comes, and it could be abuse. Let's just call them storms. The storms of life come. And the enemy uses whatever tool he can to kill, steal, and to destroy. And when crises come, sometimes we feel like we're dead. I thought I'd get at least one amen. Am I talking to anybody? When storms come, when crises come, sometimes we feel like we are dead inside because of what's happening on the outside around us. But how many know we're not saved or delivered or set free by how we feel? Don't base your life on how you feel, because you and me are emotional people, emotional beings. Somebody said, I'm not emotional. I'm steady. Bring me your finger. Where's that hammer? Bring me your thumb. Where is that hammer? Yeah, we're emotional. We have all kinds of emotion. As a matter of fact, it's been proven physiologically from the medical arena that when you cry tears, depending on the emotion, the chemical makeup of your tears are different. When you're crying tears of anger, they've analyzed those tears and they have one particular chemical makeup. When you are crying because you are grieving, it's different. When you are crying because of pain, physical pain, you're in pain, the chemical makeup of those tears is different again altogether. And when you are crying tears of laughter, you're laughing so much that tears are coming out, it's a totally different kind of chemical makeup or balance in those tears. And I might add that the Bible says a merry heart does good like medicine. So when you are crying tears of joy and you are laughing, it's also been proven that endorphins are released into your body that cause you to feel good. They also bring healing to your inner self. I wish I could get somebody to laugh. Some of you laughers ought to be laughing right now. You ought to be chuckling. Turn to the person next to you, poke them in the ribs, and see if you can't get a little chuckle out of them. But storms come that cause us to feel like we are dead. And I've often said, when something in your life is dead, when your dreams are dead, when your goals are dead, when you feel like your future is dead, whatever is dead either needs to be buried or resurrected. And the problem is, in the church, so many people, too many people, have had funerals rather than resurrection services. When God gives you a dream, it's not so you will bury it. When God gives you a vision, when God gives you a purpose, when God gives you a destiny, when God gives you a future, when God gives you a plan, it's not so that you will just let it die and then bury it. He wants to bring life to it. He wants it to come to fruition. He wants you to give birth to it. Come on, somebody. He wants you to go to the next level. He wants you to fulfill your purpose, your cause, your destiny. So in Romans chapter 4, 17, I want to tell you about our God. Somebody say, my God. Romans 4, 17, the New Living Translation says, that is what the scriptures mean when God told Abraham, I have made you the father of many, many nations. Now, I could pause right there and say that there is a movement around the globe and in this country that has been resurrected to be against Jewish people. Don't get quiet in this Presbyterian church. There's even been some protest on college campuses protesting against Israel. If you look right over there, there's the Israeli flag. And I boldly say, Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the peace of Israel. We pray for your chosen people. In the name of Jesus, protect them, keep them, use them, anoint them as a mighty army in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. I wonder if some of the college students that are protesting against Israel realize that Jesus was a Jew. They don't even realize they're protesting against Jesus. Jesus, the Jew, the Son of God, the Son of the living God. So that is what the scriptures mean when God told Abraham, I've made you the father of many nations. This happened, watch this. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. Let me say it again. This happened, Romans 4:17. This happened because Abraham believed in the God. He believed in the God. He believed the God. He knew the God who brings the dead back to life. And the same God who creates new things out of nothing. One translation says, he calls those things that are not as though they were. He creates new things out of nothing, which is what he did in the beginning when he stepped out on nothing because there was nothing to step out on. And he said nothing to nobody because there was nobody to say nothing to. And he said, let there be. And there was. Let there be light. And he created the heavens and the earth. And on the sixth day, he created man and said, let us make man in our own image and give them dominion over the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, the fish of the sea, over every living thing. Let them have dominion and subdue. So I tell you today, God has given you submission, given you dominion so that you will subdue the devil and subdue trouble and subdue fear and subdue pain and subdue sickness and subdue your past. He is the God that brings dead things back to life. Somebody say, he specializes in that. So let me ask you the question. What do you have in your life that needs resurrecting? What is in your life that needs to come back to life again? What needs to live again? You want to preach now, Pastor Tony? It's gotten quiet in this Presbyterian church. He's ready. He will preach at the drop of the hat, and he'll drop the hat to preach and say, Pastor, I dropped the hat. He loves to preach. So what, let me ask you again, what needs to live in your life again? What have you let die? What has died? What has the devil killed? What has circumstances and storms killed? What has gone dead in your life that you've not buried, and somewhere deep down you know there's hope and you've got hope and you think, but this was God's plan. This is my dream. This is my purpose. I just don't know where I got off track. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it seemed to disappear. Why don't you just put your heart, your hand on your heart and say right now, live again. Oh, come on, prophesy to the dead things in your life. Let the heart represent whatever it is and say it again. Live again. Live again. Live again. I speak life to dead things in my life that need to be revived and resurrected. I speak life to dead dreams and dead vision. I speak life to dead purpose. I speak life in Jesus' name. I speak life to dead bodies that need to be healed and resurrected in the name of Jesus. Life. Live again. Live again. Live again. Live again in the name of Jesus. So I ask you again, Abraham, this happened to Abraham because he believed in the God who brings the dead back to life. Do you believe in the God? Is anything too hard for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and you and me? Is anything too hard? Then why do we act like it? Why do we turn to him as a last resort? Live again. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. It is a story of rebirth. It is a miracle story of rebirth. Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, is a prophetic book. Throughout the book, we hear the word of the Lord come into Ezekiel and say, prophesy to this, prophesy to that, speak to this, speak to that, prophesy, talk to this situation, talk to the bones, talk to the stick, talk to this thing, talk to that thing, speak, prophesy. That's what prophesying is. It's talking to the situation. And Ezekiel is a prophetic book, and it's also an instructional book. Instructions are good. Some of you just put the picture of the box up when you're assembling something and you do the best you can, and when you get through, if you have a few parts left and it resembles what's on the cover of the box, you feel like you've done good. You avoid the instructions at all cost. If that's you, if that's ever been you, raise your hand at me right now. I see. I know I'm in the right place. But Ezekiel is an instructional book. It is a prophetic book. And chapter 37 also tells prophetically of the rebirth of Israel, which occurred in 1948 when Israel was not a nation and the Jewish people were scattered all over the globe, and God brought them back, and in 1948 they became a nation again. Ezekiel 37 teaches a biblical model to prophesy and to experience God's miraculous power. It's instructional. It's prophetical. Everybody say that. It's instructional and it is prophetic. Now say, it is a model for me to talk to my situation, to speak to the dead things, and let the resurrection power of Jesus touch those dead things and bring them back to life. So let's look at the scripture. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. Talks about the valley where God put Ezekiel. Did you realize that God put him there? The hand of the Lord was on me, Ezekiel said, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me in the middle of a valley. Valleys are low places. Valley is a lower place than the level ground where you would normally want to be. It's a low place. It's a place of death sometimes. It's a place of captivity. It's a place of depravity. And in this particular valley, the Bible says, continuing in verse 1, 2, and 3, it said, it was full of bones. The Spirit of the Lord brought Ezekiel out, set him down in the middle of the valley, and that valley was full of bones. Bones represent death. Bones represent depravity. Bones represent that the life is gone, and this is all that's left. This is the remnant of what was once upon a time something that was alive, something that was living, something that had breath in it. And the Bible says, he asked me, God asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Now, if that had been some of you power-packed faith people, you would have responded, yes, Lord. Yes, these bones can live again because you have so much faith. But if it had been some others of you, you would have said, well, no, it's too late. There's not even a body to pray for. It's just bones. It's over. Funeral's already been had. Somebody just didn't bury the bones. It's over. It's too late. It's past. So no, that's what some of you would have said. But Ezekiel, he was wise. He put it back on God. He said, Lord, sovereign God, sovereign Lord, you know. Look at your neighbor and say, you know. You know. See, God asked him a question, and Ezekiel knew the answer, but he's like some of us. He didn't want to get too committed. I wish I had time to preach today. Somebody say, live again. He said, Lord, you know. You know if these bones can live again. So let me tell you, God may set you in a valley. You may go through some storms and find yourself in a valley. And in that valley, you might find some situations, some circumstances that are low, because you're in a valley after all. You may even find some bones that are dead in your valley. You may find some bones and some situations that you don't like, that you wish you could change. And the Lord may challenge you. He may test you. He may ask you a question. Do you believe these bones can live? Do you believe this situation can change? Do you believe your circumstances will change, can change? Do you believe? And I'm talking to everybody in this room and those that are watching online and those that are listening on the radio. I'm talking to you. The Lord is asking you a question right now regarding your valley, regarding your circumstance, regarding your situation, regarding the things that have died in your life, the dry bones that are there. He's asking you a question. He's saying to you, do you believe that the bones can live again? Do you believe that your situation can change? Do you believe that what you have worked on and prayed for and talked to others about and been to doctors to and been to lawyers to and been to bankers to, tried to find an answer somewhere and been to counselors and talked to preachers and talked to other people to pray for you? Do you believe that your situation in the valley, the bones that are there, the death that is there, the depravity that is there, do you believe that my God and your God and our God that we continually believe, do you believe that he can cause them to live again? Do you believe? I'm trying to get somebody to believe. I'm trying to get somebody to stand on the word of God. I'm trying to get somebody to say, yes, 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 yes. Lord, you know. So we learn from Ezekiel, our words have power. I told Pastor Rita on the way to church, it's going to sound mean. I'm not mean, but this is going to sound mean. When will you get it? Thank you, sir. I've been preaching this here in this building 21 and a half years, that your life follows your words and what you say is what you get. I've been preaching. I've been trying to tell you. I've been demonstrating it. I've been showing you. I mean, we got this building as a result of me driving by when I didn't have any money, didn't have any people. And I'd drive by and I'd stretch my hand out and say, Lord, I thank you for the jumbo sports building. I didn't have enough to pay to have the locks changed when I got it. But I thank the Lord for it. I'd come over here and sit in the parking lot and I'd go through McDonald's or Chick-fil-A and I'd get me something to eat and I'd sit in the parking lot, because I wanted to be in the atmosphere of what God was giving me and what God was doing and what God was birthing. And I'd sit in the parking lot outside. The doors were locked and I couldn't get in and I didn't own the building, but I'd sit in the parking lot and I'd say, Lord, thank you for this food and thank you for the jumbo sports building, that one day we're going to worship here. One day we're going to preach and praise here. One day it's going to be full of people and you're going to do miracles and signs and wonders here, and you're going to raise the dead and open blinded eyes and cause the deaf to hear and cause the dumb to talk and cause the lame to walk. I thank you, Lord, for this place. And in 21 years, we've seen all of that. We've seen him do those things. So your words have power. Look at your neighbor and say, I wish you could get it. Come on, tell them like you mean it. Preach to them. Say, hey. Come on, say, hey. I wish you could get it. Your words have power. Your life follows your words. Scripture, please. Here it is, Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Then God said to me, to Ezekiel, prophesy. That's what I've been trying to get you to do. Prophesy to your situation. Prophesy, God said, to these bones. Now, that automatically excludes some of you because you care what people think. So you're going to shut your mouth. You're not going to prophesy to dead, dry bones. You don't want people to think you're crazy. What will people say? What will people think? What if they see me with my hand lifted in the car riding down the road? What will they think? What will they say? What would they say at my church if I lifted my hand? What would they say if I begin to prophesy to my situation, if I prophesied to my sick body, if I prophesied to my checkbook because it's in the red and it needs to be in the black? What would they say? Would that work? Does that really work? Let me remind you of Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Then God said to Ezekiel, prophesy to these dead, dry bones and say to them, dry bones. Watch this now. Watch this. It's in the Bible. It's right there. It's on the screen. Watch this. Dry bones. This is what God, the God of the universe, that created the heavens and the earth, spoke the worlds into existence. This is what God says to Ezekiel, the prophet of God. Dry bones. Say to the dry bones, Ezekiel, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. That's outrageous. Some of the instructions that we get from God are outrageous. It's crazy talk. Of course, God talk is crazy talk. He's not going to tell you to do something that you could do on your own. He's going to tell you to do something in faith, to step out in faith and to believe him so he can show himself strong and to show his glory and to show his anointing. I love this. I wish I could preach this for the next month because y'all won't stay that long. I meant like, I didn't mean like every Sunday. I meant like just preach now for He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, for you practical folks, you practical people, you're going to say, well, bones don't have ears. How can they hear without an ear? Because the Bible says, he that hath ears, let him hear. So do you think that the bones needed ears to be able to hear? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because a lot of you will think, yes, they must have ears, and if they don't have ears, they can't hear. But God said to Ezekiel, say to the bones, oh dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. When the word of the Lord goes forth, when God begins to speak through you, because he tells you to begin to speak, I got to say this verse. I'm getting ahead of myself, but it's my favorite, one of my favorite verses. Job 22, 28. You know what it says? Declare a thing that it might be established for you. Because some of you were thinking, well, God didn't tell me to prophesy. He didn't tell me to declare a thing. He didn't tell me to speak to my bones and my dead, dry situation. Oh, you didn't read Job 22, 28. So God says, speak to the bones, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. So the bones didn't have ears, but they heard. We can learn. This is a model. This scripture is a model for prophesying, for talking to your situation. So God is telling the prophet of God, talk to the bones. You're in the valley. I put you in the low place. Talk to the bones. Talk to the dry bones, the dry dead bones with no skin, with no life, with no body, no corpse, no life at all. They're just bones of somebody that was alive once upon a time. He said, talk to them, prophesy to them, speak to them, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. And it might sound outrageous to you, but I want you to understand, when God speaks, nothing is outrageous. When God tells you to do something, if you'll do it, if you'll believe it, it will happen. He will bring to pass. He will blow your mind. He will supernaturally impart to you and supernaturally flow through you, and you will see miracles happen in your life, in your family, on your job, in your finances, in every situation of your life. Verse 9 and 12. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. To the breath. So he prophesied to the bones. And then he says, prophesy to the breath. And say to the breath, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath. How many know that word breath there is? Ruah, breath of God. Spirit of God, power of God, come breath from the four winds and breathe ruah into these that are slain, that they may live. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. So Ezekiel began to prophesy. If you're new here, you probably have already determined that you are in a Pentecostal church. I went to a Baptist seminary, though, so I can claim to be a Baptist-costal. I went to Samford and Birmingham, so I can claim Baptist-cost and Word of Faith, and all rolled into one. So he began to prophesy. Your words have power. He began to prophesy to the dead dry bones. He began to speak to the dead dry bones. And something began to happen. And then the bones came together. I'm going to tell you about that in a moment. Then he said, the Lord says, speak to the wind. Talk to the wind. Talk to the breath. Call the breath into these bones. And watch what is going to happen. He says, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from them. In 1948, this is a prophetic thing, that the people, the Jewish people, were scattered all over the globe and they became a nation. God began to bring them back. I've visited Israel a number of times. Dr. Shirley, you visited, many of you here, you've been to Israel. You've been to the Holy Land. A number of years ago, they started organizing airplane transport to bring Jewish people from all over the world back to Jerusalem. They've already started gathering all the items that will go into the temple when they rebuild the temple, which right now there is an Islamic mosque that is on that location that the temple is going to be rebuilt. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I do know that it's going to happen because I believe God. Come on, somebody. And so they are gathering together all the items, and they already have everything that will go in the temple when they restore it, when they rebuild the temple. But this is a prophetic picture of God bringing the people back together to form a nation. And right now we are on a prophetic timeline where there are attacks on the nation of Israel. It started again back in October. It's not let up. There is war breaking out. People are being killed on a regular basis. Citizens are being killed. Women and children are being killed on both sides, and that shouldn't be. That's why we pray for the peace of Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. But here we find the prophet prophesying to the situation to bring them back together. Then in verse 7, 8, and 10, Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. When you obey the word of the Lord, when you obey what God says, the obedience that you have to the word of God demands, makes a demand on the anointing and creates a response. Oh, you missed that. When God speaks to you, when he gives you a word, when he gives you a word and he says, do this, prophesy to that, speak to this, give to that, be a part of this. When God speaks to you, your obedience, when you step in line, when you as a warrior, as a soldier, begin to march, begin to do whatever God has told you to do, the obedience requires, demands a response. Something is going to happen. So here's what happened. Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, as I was talking to dead dry bones in my valley. See, some of you won't even start prophesying to the dead things in your life because you're worried about what somebody's going to say. You're worried about what somebody's going to think. Worse yet, you're worried that it won't happen. So you just don't prophesy. You just don't step out. You just don't obey because you just think, how could that be? That's impossible. That would take a supernatural touch from God. That would have to be a miracle. It can't happen. Too many people will tell me it can't happen. So just stay there in your death. That was mean, wasn't it? Just stay in your death. Stay in your situation. Keep lapping the mountain. Or trust God and obey Him. And begin to speak and begin to declare and begin to talk in your valley to the dead dry bones. And when you begin to do that, here's what the prophet said. He said, as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a noise. I wish I had somebody on the keys to make some noise. I wish I had somebody on the drums to make some noise. He said, as I was prophesying, there was some noise. I'm going to try it one more time. The prophet said, as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a rattling sound. And the bones started coming together. I looked up that word noise. We know what noise is. But I knew in my spirit it was more. I looked it up, Dr. Shirley, and when I looked up noise, it said a loud thundering voice. Let me translate. A roar. When I prophesied to the dead dry bones in the valley, suddenly as I prophesied, I heard a rattling sound. I heard a noise. I heard a roar. I heard a thundering voice that was shaking everything in the valley of dead dry bones, in the situation that I thought was impossible. When he asked me, could the bones live? I said, you know, Lord. But when I begin to prophesy, when I begin to talk to my situation, when I begin to speak to the bones in the valley, the dead dry bones, there was a noise, there was a roar, there was a thundering voice. It wasn't my voice. It wasn't me trying to be loud. Oh, no, 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 no. When I begin to prophesy, something began to happen in the supernatural. Something began to happen in the spirit realm. When I begin to prophesy, there was a thunder, there was a release, there was a loud voice, there was a loud roar. It sounded like the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah, and everything began to happen. Bones begin to move. Bones begin to come together, bone to bone. The foot bone connected to the ankle bone. The ankle bone connected to the shin bone. The shin bone connected to the thigh bone. The thigh bone connected to the hip bone. Come on, somebody. Arm bones coming together. I can imagine that as he is standing there prophesying, speaking, and bones start coming together and the rattling, and I can see him ducking, say, I missed that bone. Woo! There's a bone. Bones just going everywhere. He said, watch out. It kind of looks like people that when they start shouting in a Pentecostal church, it's... Maybe that's where it came from. I don't know. But he said, I began to prophesy and I heard the rattling sound. I heard a noise, the thundering roar, and the bones came together, bone to bone, and I looked. And then he said, I saw muscle. I saw flesh appear on them. And then I saw the skin covered them. Sit down. Stop. Watch this. And we shout. And we think, oh, what a miracle. What a miracle. We prophesied to our bones. And we had action. We had movement. We had noise. We had sound. We had thundering voice. Look, we had a roar. Look, all these bones come together. And now we have skeletons. And that's where most people stop. Look at our miracle. It happened 37 years ago. Look at our building. We got it 29 years ago. Look at our miracle. Look what God did. And it's still dead. And so many people stop when they get a little movement of God. And they shout for the movement. but they never follow through for the life. They don't wait on him to breathe on them. They're just happy to shout because there's bones flying. They're just happy to dance a little bit because there's bones flying. Now, we ought to shout. We ought to dance. We ought to move. We ought to rejoice. We ought to make a joyful noise, but we cannot stop there. It's more than the shout. It's more than the roar. It's more than the movement. It's more than the dance. We have to have the word of God in our heart. We have to believe his word. We have to go the next step. We have to breathe and call on the breath of God. Let the breath of God touch us and cause, quicken us and cause us to be alive. He said, but there was no breath in them. So what do you do? I'm glad you ask. So Ezekiel, when he realized there was no ruah, there was no breath, there was no movement, just bones, just a skeleton. Watch what he did. So I prophesied again, as he commanded me. I prophesied again. If you prophesied last week and you didn't get your breakthrough, prophesy again. If your checkbook is still in the red and you prophesied last week, prophesy again. Speak to the bills and say, bills, you are gone. You are leaving. You are getting out of my file. You cannot stay here. You are paid, bills. You are gone, bills. Every one of you is paid in Jesus' name. Every one of you is gone in Jesus' name. Car payment, you are paid. Car payment, you are gone. As a matter of fact, car payment, you are paid off, car. You are no longer debt to me. You are paid off. You are an asset. House, mortgage, not only is the payment made, but you are paid off. House, you are paid off. I'm talking to you. Do you hear me, house? You are paid off. You belong to God and you are paid off in the name of Jesus. Prophesy again. Talk to it again. You say, well, should we do that? I just thought pray one time. Well, Jesus prayed for a man one time that was blind. He said, what do you see? And the man said, I see trees. I see men as trees. I can see movement, but men look like trees. So Jesus prayed again. If the Son of God prayed again, surely we should prophesy again. We should pray again. We should speak again. We should talk again. Come on, somebody. So he said, I prophesied as he commanded me. And then he said, ruah, breath, life entered into them. And they came to life. Ruah entered into them and they came to life and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. This would be a good place for me to pause again and say, will you ever get it? Genesis 1, 26 through 28, God said, let us make man our image. Let them have, this is for you now, let them have dominion over the birds of the air, the beast of the field, the fish of the sea, over every living thing. Let them have dominion and subdue. Does that cover your body? Is your body a living thing? Are the cells in your body a living thing? Is your heart, your liver, your lungs, your kidney, your stomach, your bladder, your bowels, your bones, your muscles, your nerves, your tendon, your little toe? Is it a living thing? You have dominion over everything. He gives us dominion. He said, have dominion. But that's kind of like prophesying to the bones and never calling the breath in them. Never speaking to the breath for the ruah to come. Because he said in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, have dominion and subdue. Is the devil a living thing? Subdue the devil. Subdue the spirit of fear and the spirit of doubt and the spirit of trouble and the spirit of poverty and the spirit of lack and the spirit of perversion, the spirit of suicide, spirit of war, Subdue it. I'm trying to tell you, God is raising up a remnant. This scripture is prophetic. It was prophetic in 1948, but it is prophetic now for the remnant army of Jesus Christ around the globe. And he is raising us up, and he is saying to us, not only for your own situation, you got to get your house in order first, but as you prophesy to your house and you get your situation in order, you've got miracles to tell about, miracles to testify. You've got financial breakthrough. You've got physical breakthrough. You've got relational breakthrough. You've got all this because you are beginning to prophesy. You begin to talk to your situation and talk to your circumstances. Now, he says, oh, remnant people of God, I've raised you up as a mighty army. It's time for you to prophesy to the nations. It's time to prophesy to the judges. It's time to prophesy to the presidents. It's time to prophesy to the kings. It's time to prophesy to every country on the planet. It's time to prophesy. It's time to declare peace. It's time to declare the word of the Lord. It's time to declare revival, the outpouring, the last day revival. Prophesy, speak in the name of Jesus. And when a mighty army like those that are in this room join with others like this around the globe, miracles take place, revival is poured out, turnaround takes place, deliverance, healing, salvation, all the blessings of God. Look at your neighbor and say, did you get it? I didn't hear anybody say, yes, I got it. So ask him again, did you get it? I'm listening for, yes, I got it. Ask somebody again, did you get it? Yes, I got it. I'm part of the remnant. I'm part of the body. I'm part of the kingdom. I'm part of the soldier. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. I'm part of the last day revival. Touch somebody, say, live again, live again, live again, live again. And see, this works for everything. I wish I had time to tell you stories. I wish I had time to just to preach. Pastor Rita, when she was in high school, they went to Six Flags, took the youth to Six Flags. And on the way back, the radiator on the bus busted. All the water came out. And it was after, it was late, 10, 11 o'clock at night. Were you on the bus, Mamo? You know the story. But Rita was on the bus. And all these kids coming back from Six Flags going to Anderson, South Carolina. And everything was closed. There was nowhere to get it fixed. So they got somebody to get them to a station and get a few gallons of water and some milk jugs. And they came back, all those kids gathered around that bus radiator. And they prayed over the radiator, took dominion authority, commanded it to hold the water long enough for them to drive another 100 miles to Anderson, South Carolina. And then they poured the water in the radiator. Come on, somebody. And those kids shouted on the side of the road on I-85 outside Atlanta heading to South Carolina. They got in the bus, started to praise the Lord and sing. They started the bus up, and guess what? They drove that 100 miles all the way to Anderson, South Carolina, and they didn't have one failure of the radiator. Not one drop of water came out of the radiator. But when they rolled into the parking lot, all the water went out again. But God did the miracle because they believed. If you can believe, all things are possible if you will only believe. They talked to a radiator. I could tell you about the surgery that the doctor said I needed on this knee a few years ago when I had a bike wreck. And the doctor said, oh, you got to have a full knee replacement. I said, oh, no, this knee's been good to me for many years. I'm not just going to replace her just like that. No. How do I need to pray? And he said, well, you need a knee replacement. I said, give me 30 days. So he sent me to get the MRI and the CAT scan and whatever they do. And I prayed 30 days and I went back and he checked and he said, well, that's him scratching his head. He went, well, you don't need a knee replacement. What'd you do? I said, I've been talking to that knee. I've been telling that knee, you are healed. By his stripes, you are healed. I speak life. I speak healing. You are all right. And I can run and I can jump. And that's been 5 years ago. And I didn't have a knee replacement. He said, I don't understand. You don't need a knee replacement. Rita was in there and I said, repeat that. He said, you don't need. I said, tell me one more time. Because didn't you tell me 30 days ago? He said, I did. I know I did. But you don't need a knee replacement. I said, thank you very much. I got my stuff and I left. Come on, somebody. You've got to talk to your situation. You've got to talk to your sick body. You've got to talk to your bank account. You've got to talk to your wayward children. You've got to talk to the families that need to be saved. You've got to talk to your coworkers and command them to be saved in Jesus' name. You've got to talk to your business and tell it to prosper. Let money come in Jesus' name. You've got to talk, prophesy to your situation. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Let me wrap it up. Somebody say, live again. Psalm 128:1, amplified. Blessed, happy, and sheltered by God's favor is everyone who fears the Lord and worships him with obedience, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. God wants you to live this way. He wants you to prophesy. He wants you to talk to your situation. He wants you to be a worshiper. He wants you to walk in the blessings, the increase, the healing, the deliverance. He wants that for you. He said he would give you the desires of your heart. Deuteronomy 28, read the chapter. He wants you to be blessed in the city and blessed in the field and blessed when you go in and blessed when you come out. He wants your crops to be blessed, your children to be blessed, your everything that you have to be. He wants it all to be blessed. So here it is, blessed and happy and sheltered by God's favor is everyone who fears the Lord and worships him with obedience, who walks in his ways and lives according to his commandments. Live again. So I want you to declare these things together with me because we're going to live again. Start with the first one. Let's say it together. Everybody, get on your feet. Let's say it together. Are you ready? This is one of my favorite scriptures, Job 22:28. Declaring, say it, declaring a thing and it will be established. Do it again. Declaring a thing and it will be established. Mark 9:23, read on. Believing because all things are possible. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible. The next one, speaking life. Because the power of life and death is in my tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Do it again. Speaking life because the power of life and death is in my tongue. The next one. Receiving the miracle of the mountain moving. Mark 11:22-24. He said, you can say to this mountain, you can speak to this mountain, be moved and be cast into the sea. And if you believe in your heart and you do not doubt, you will have what you say.